trans fats are produced through an industrial hydrogenation process, which makes the oils semi-solid at room temperature. So it's kind of like a butter or margarine. That's the texture of it. And industry favor this because it's not only cheap, so it's a cheaper version of butter, for example, but it's also quite stable. So it has a very long shelf life, the products that contain it, and it also can withstand repeated heating at high temperatures. So if you think of deep fried foods that are fried in oils for an extended period of time, trans fats or partially hydrogenated vegetable oils that are high in trans fat allow you to do that without the oil going rancid.
Now, all of these types of foods, generally speaking, I guess, even without the trans fats in them, they would be bad for you. Donuts, cookies, things we shouldn't be indulging in too much. But what specifically about the trans fats makes them bad?
So the thing that makes trans fats the worst of all the fats is the fact that not only does it increase your bad cholesterol, which is your LDL cholesterol, it also decreases your good cholesterol. So, for example, saturated fat, which is also not great for health, it increases your LDL, your bad cholesterol, but it doesn't change your good cholesterol, whereas the trans decreases that good cholesterol.
The study talks about banning of trans fats from food preparation by several regions of the world or particular local authorities. Tell us about some of these bans and why the countries did this.
Okay, so probably the most well-known ban, which was the first ban to occur worldwide, and that was in Denmark in 2003. And basically, they limited the trans fat that was allowed in all foods within the food supply. So not only the foods produced within the country, but also the foods that were being imported. And basically, that virtually eliminated trans fat from the food supply. And one of the reasons why Denmark decided to go this route was because they realized that specific pockets of the population had extremely high intakes of trans fat. And those pockets of the population are often the people that are most socially, economically disadvantaged.
Because trans fats are particularly used in industrial production of food, is this something that is a problem in developed countries, or do we also find this in developing countries or emerging economies in the world?
Yes, one of the things is that there's not a lot of good data in low and middle income countries on what trans fat intakes are. However, we do know that they use partially hydrogenated vegetable oils really high in trans fat in many parts of the developing world. So, for example, India consumes a product called Vanaspati, which is a vegetable ghee, and that's extremely high in trans fat. That product is also consumed in other parts of the world as well. So we think it's a problem. There aren't a lot of good data about it. But even countries, for example, India has proposed setting trans fat limits in partially hydrogenated vegetable oils, which is a really great first step.
Now, are such bans feasible for countries to implement?
Yes, I think it's feasible, and that's what this study shows. It can be done, but obviously you need to have the political will. Even in New York City, when they did ban trans fat in restaurants, and they first started a voluntary approach, and industry didn't make any moves, so they had to make mandatory regulation. But there was a lot of resistance for that. Even recently in the United States, Cleveland tried to have a local trans fat ban, and Ohio State tried to take them to court to block that. So Cleveland actually sued the government and won. So there definitely is resistance, but it's feasible. And the good thing that came out of this study is it actually shows that it can be done both locally and nationally.
The resistance is coming from the government, but I assume it's also coming from segments of the food production industry.
Absolutely. I think industry, as per usual, wants a voluntary approach. So they think that if they just say they'll reduce trans fat, and maybe they will reduce it in some products, that will be enough. But I think to have a substantial effect on trans fat intakes, I think those local, if not national, bans are the most effective way to do that.
Shauna, thank you so much for talking to us. And of course, now your study has been published in this Bulletin of the World Health Organization. What do you hope will be the outcome of this?
I hope that governments will take it on board. And as part of the World Health Organization's Global Monitoring Framework for Non-Communicable Diseases, one of the indicators is actually adoption of national policies that eliminate trans fat from the food supply. So I'm hoping that this will give governments some indication that this is feasible and it's achievable and it's the way forward.